The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday in Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor a prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water. But in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, and who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, some points from the bulletin. There will be a catechism class this morning. Also, this afternoon, at 5 o'clock, we have the Sunday Vespers with benediction, as usual. Tomorrow is the beautiful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I think that we all should spend a little time with Our Lady of Guadalupe tomorrow and ask her to protect us and to guide us and to lead us through all of the darkness that we find ourselves walking in at the present time. Next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and I think all of us are well aware that it is Bread Sunday. There will be some tables in the middle here of the aisle, and place your bread, wrap it up nicely and neatly and Christmassy, and be sure you put your name on it so you can identify it quickly, and place it on the table, and after Mass, the priest will come down and bless the bread. Again, I encourage you not to be hesitant about doing this. And if you have no experience in making bread, that's fine. Do the best you can. It's a family affair, and each one knows the kind of bread that you know how to make. So let us not be worried about that. The idea is important. The principle is important. The act is important. So please try to observe that. I bring to your attention two things. That there will be no confessions before midnight Mass or the 10 o'clock Mass on Christmas Day. Also, and this is very important for all of us to know, and that is that if you attend midnight Mass, and if you go to communion at midnight Mass, you may not receive communion a second time on that same day. So you can only go to communion at the one Mass that you go to, whether it's at midnight or 10 o'clock or wherever, or whenever. So once is all we are permitted normally to receive communion. The priest, of course, because of his duties, is exempt on those occasions, like Christmas. Christmas, the priest says three Masses. Therefore, he receives communion three times. But that's the exception rather than the rule. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today is the third Sunday of Advent. It is also referred to as Rose Sunday. You will notice that the altar is in rose color. There are flowers on the altar. Flowers are permitted today. As a matter of fact, if we had an organist, music would be permitted today. And the priest himself is vested in rose color. We even lit a rose colored, everything is rose today. And I read from St. Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety. The liturgy of the church is sacred. And we come to church for the main reason, for the only reason, really, I should say, for the only reason, that is to give glory and honor to God. We do not come to church to be entertained. It appears that that has been the route that has been taken in recent years, that church going has a fun time. It's a playtime. My beloved people, the adoration of God and the worship of Almighty God is not something funny. There is no work that we can perform, either with our hands or with our minds, that can come anywhere near to the importance of the worship of Almighty God, the adoration of Almighty God. The sacred liturgy has been prepared over the years by people of great wisdom and a little bit of by guests and missing and going on and deleting and adding to and whatever else, deleting that which is not necessary and so on. The liturgy is there to edify, to instruct, to teach, and to lead the people ever closer to God. That is why the liturgy. It is something very sacred. It is not something that can be played with or changed or tampered with or put up for use in any way one sees fit. Today is Gaudete Sunday. Everything, even in the Mass, everything has to do with Gaudete, which means rejoice. Advent begun 2 weeks ago. And we were instructed, the liturgy instructed us, St. Paul definitely told us to wake up. St. Paul instructed us, we have a mountain to climb. This mountain is steep. This mountain is very difficult. But we have to climb that mountain. And some of us, weak as we are, we'll see the task ahead of us and look upon this as something which is a bit maybe too difficult to attempt, and we become discouraged and we may even despair of not being able or capable of simply climbing that mountain. But we try. We do the best we can. And the church today very quickly says to all of us, tells us, we're halfway there. Rejoice. Be glad. Trust in the Lord. Do not be afraid. You can go the rest of the way. Don't stop. Keep going. Do not despair. Work a little harder, perhaps, but keep on going. Christ is near. God is near. He is there to help you, to guide you, to lead you, to bring you to Himself. You must reach the top of that mountain. Do not be afraid. It isn't easy. He did not say in any place we find that the burden will be lightened. The cross that you received at the foot of that mountain will not lose its heaviness or its weight as you approach the top. The weight of that cross remains the same all the way to the very top. And in the Christmas bulletin, we will talk a little bit more about that for those of us who love Him. There is one line, it's a concluding line, actually, of today's bulletin, may I read it to you, that is ever so important. I read. It is ever so easy to distinguish those whose hearts flow full with the milk and honey which God has promised to those who truly love Him. The most important word in that entire sentence is truly. Many of us go through the exercise of loving. Many of us go through the exercise of adoring, of believing, of trusting. But do we love truly? Does our love bring us to the foot of inconvenience? Or does it leave us wherever we wish to be left, so that we may be free to do as we choose to do? And we go through life lollygagging. Actually, it is a making of a mockery of Almighty God if we go through life not seriously taking the obligation that love places upon us. Love, I repeat for emphasis, if we love, obligation comes to us. And the love urges us to pick up that cross and carry it. If we do not love, if we're not serious about it, our adoration stinks. And we are making a very definite mockery of God. Our adoration has to be serious. And as we adore, how do we adore? How deep-rooted is our adoration? Or is it just a mumbling of a thought or a word or whatever that we throw aside as soon as we step outside the church door, and so on? But what we do, my beloved people, as we come to church to give, that is the reason we come to church, to give adoration. And it's for that adoration we receive. And we receive that which the Holy Liturgy gives us, namely edification, serenity, holiness, and all the other virtues that we so much desire. And we take these treasures. It is not that they are left at the church door. We take these treasures. Now, I hate to use that word. No, I did not forget that I used the word take, because it signifies the taking. We take nothing. We give. But the serenity and the peace and the joy and the understanding and the happiness that we receive, we pick that up and we carry it home with us. We carry it home with us and place it on the altar of our home, the altar in our house. And there we receive nourishment all week. Nourishment for serenity of soul and mind, of peace and mind. Nourishment of joy. Nourishment for happiness. Nourishment for all that God requires of us. The more we give, the more do we receive. And the following Sunday, the following day, we come back. And the sacred liturgy feeds us again. And we carry home with us what that day has to give us. That morsel of bread that we receive at the sacred altar of Almighty God. That's where we are. That's how we live. And all this other shenanigans and monkey shines that we sometimes, and we do often today, find, what has that got to do with that which we are obliged to do? And we ourselves, my beloved people, must look upon this obligation of love, this labor of love, as serious. There are those that they say yes to everything. They say, are you obedient? Do you want to be obedient? Oh, yes. Do you want to be holy? Oh, certainly. Do you want to learn how to pray definitely? And so on. We have all the definite answers we would look for. But in the performance of these things that are required or placed upon us, in the performance of them, we show lack. We simply are not all fully committed to what we have said. It is not the liturgy again, and we have to be careful that we today, especially in our deprived condition, our life today as true Catholics is extremely deprived. It's extremely sacrificial. We are very poor. We have nothing. Perhaps you might look at this and say, well, then you've got plenty here. Yes, by the grace of God, we have a house in which to love and adore. But how many places, there are who have to go to abandoned filling stations? I've been there. The saddest Christmas of our life, of my life, was my first Christmas after I left the big church that I was a pastor over, where everything was done with, it was well done. Nothing was left out. And my first Christmas, the only place that we could go to have Mass that morning was to, in a motel. And we tried to find the best place we could in the room that was assigned to us. It was the room which they had had a party the evening all night before. And the floor was pretty sopping with the drippings of the occasion. You want to know something? It was rather difficult to step around the foot of the altar and squish, squish, squish my way through Mass. But it was a Mass. That's how poor we are. And we have to accept that. And sometimes we go to extravagant ceremonies in some places, and they look upon the ceremony as the more extravagant it is, the better does it give honor and glory to God. And I say to that, maybe once upon a time, but not now anymore. That has gone with the wind. And we have to look at all things prudently. And in today's bulletin, we speak of Advent and the preparation for Christmas. In some places, it is forbidden to prepare for Christmas. We say, no, that's not reasonable. The bulletin will tell you about that today. Read your bulletins. Study your bulletins. Meditate on your bulletins, what is presented there. We have to look upon these things with prudence and common sense as we go through life. It is perfectly all right. If you notice in the bulletin today is a picture. We have all kinds of little things. But the centerpiece of that bulletin's face today is the child Jesus himself. That is the centerpiece. And if we can keep him as the centerpiece of our mind, as the centerpiece of our lives, my beloved people, prepare for Christmas all you want to. You will not go wrong. The day itself before Christmas is a day of fast and abstinence. Fasting and abstinence are certainly penitential. They're very strict. Again, common sense comes in. The day before this enormous celebration. And the celebration on earth, no matter how we celebrate it, is nothing compared to the celebration. It certainly will go on in heaven at that particular moment when the God-man's feet touch earth for the first time. Nothing can be more explosive than that moment. Nothing can be so defeating as that moment is for Satan. God has touched earth for the first time. And so we celebrate, and we have every reason to celebrate this, because it has come to be of benefit. There we are again. We are receiving. We do not take from him. He gives to us, and we accept it, and we receive it, and we bring it home with us, and we keep it, and we cherish it. So, to prepare for this enormously important event, this gladsome affair, provided you keep him where he belongs, in the center of it all, there's nothing wrong with that. There are those, unfortunately, who are trying to tell us that it is so wrong to do that. Do not, just think it out, my beloved people. Just think it, reason it out, and use your reasonable faculties. So, the liturgy of the church is so well taken, so well prepared, and so well put together. It is for me. It has been given to me. It has been given to you and to us so that we can live on it, that we can eat upon it, that we can grow upon it and save our immortal souls. If we fail to save our immortal souls, we are complete failures. Sometimes we do not consider this at the moment as important. But let us ask ourselves this question, or put ourselves to this proposition. When we go to the doctor, the medical doctor, and today it is so fashionable to have a pet doctor that we all go to all the time. And how we, and for the sake of our body, because we have an ache in our foot, we have an ache in our hand, we have an ache someplace, a tooth hurts or whatever, whatever. And how we go to him at really, or to her now, because to have both male and female doctors, and how obedient we are to the very word they tell us that will help us to improve our physical condition. And when something is presented to us that is contrary to what the doctor has said, we have no hesitation, none whatever, to say, I can't do that, because the doctor said, I can't do that if I wish to get well. The doctor said no to that, and we obey to the letter. Instantaneous. I have no apologies. We do not apologize. Oh, I can't do this. I can't eat this. I can't do that. We have no apology. We simply say, I can't do it. The doctor said no. For the body. Then we come to the soul. When the Word of God says no to us, and we are in the same position, in the same place that we were in a minute ago at the party, amidst friends, and we are presented with something to do, to eat, or whatever. What do we do? Do we say no? Or do we, excuse the expression, pussyfoot around the issue and try to find little creaky loopholes we can climb through without having to admit that which we have to say? Is that not true? All of us do that. We have no hesitations about the doctor's word, but the word of God, we're very cautious about how we proclaim it. So, these are times we need to come to grips with ourselves, our mentality, our commitment, our desire. We are halfway up the mountain. And today we are told, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to suffer. Just simply go. I am with you. I am there to help you. I want you at the top of that mountain. And I will do everything I can to make sure that you reach that top, my child. That is the way God speaks to us, doesn't he? To those of us whose hearts flow full with the milk and honey he has promised to all of us who truly love him.